we've been talking about in this series. You guys remember the last couple weeks? We've been talking about one specific word. Can you name it?
Grace.
Grace. And what are a few things that we learned about grace up to this point? Anything? What'd you say?
Why?
Oh, okay, yeah. Anything about grace? They're really loud in that bathroom. Not in like a gross way, like they're talking. Sorry. Anyway, something
like that. It saves you from hell.
It saves you from hell. Thank you, Manny. Grace is receiving something you don't deserve. What else have we learned about grace? We talked about a farm situation. You guys remember? Certain plants, maybe? We learned something about those plants. Yeah, vines. And what about the vines? They produce fruit. And so, who's the vine? And who are we? And if we're really connected to the life of Jesus, what will happen to us? What does that fruit mean? I'm going to start springing some oranges and apples out of my forehead. Yes, that'd be awesome. Then I never need food. No grocery store for me. Hey, what? Somebody said it. What? We make disciples. That's part of it. What? Someone said it. We start to look like Christ. The fruit that we produce, not the produce that we produce, is that we start to look like Jesus. So the more we're connected to Jesus and loving Jesus and studying about Jesus and getting to know Jesus, the more we look like Jesus. And that's fruit that we discussed last week. And so tonight we're going to look at something different because we're actually doing something tonight that is a product of grace. What we're actually engaging in here right now is a product of this thing, grace, that we keep studying. The fact that we're here. How many of y'all are here tonight? Look at your neighbor. Look at him real quick. Ask him, are you here tonight? If they tell you no, pinch them so they remember they're here. So, all right, only one though, because then it's bullying if you exceed one. Good. Hey, we're here tonight. So listen, what you're doing is you're here tonight engaged. You may have multiple reasons why you're here tonight. And that's okay. But the biggest reason, the best reason, the most important reason why you should be here tonight is because grace has changed you and plugged you into something we call the body of Christ. It's because of grace that you are able to be a part of the body of Jesus. And as we gather together, this is an expression of the body of Jesus. And we're going to look into that a little more tonight when we open up to Hebrews chapter 10. Pop open there real quick to Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. We're going to see that grace places us into the body of Christ. Here we go. If you don't have it, you can look in the screens. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us continue how to stir up one another. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, the author of Hebrews is trying to get a really important point across to us. He spends the first part of this passage talking about what Jesus does for us. He describes grace, that it's because of the blood of Christ that we're able to have life, and it's life that we've talked about before. We don't deserve. We're born dead, remember that? You might be physically alive, but when you're born, you're spiritually dead, and so you're born without life in you. And if Christ never comes along to give you life, you remain lifeless. You remain dead. So he has to give you what you don't have and what you don't deserve. Does anyone else hear Jaws coming to get me? It's a little spooky. Can you try to work on that, guys, for a second? Just do your best to ignore our many wonderful distractions around here. So as we get to this point, verse 19 is taking a really close, deep look at what grace is. All right, so look at it. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Christ, blood of Jesus. What are the holy places? What does entering the holy places mean? We talked about that in the past, one of the past series that maybe we looked at. Prayer. What was the title of the prayer series? You remember? Approaching the throne. Yeah. So what do you think entering the holy places means? Praying or entering this intimate relationship with God. Having access to be able to enter in and talk freely to God where he doesn't look down and go, sinner, why are you in my presence? You know, like, no, come on in. Like, you're my child. I know that my son has died for you and paid this price. You belong here. Come in, freely partake. Like, talk to me. Tell me your, like, requests. Share your heart with me. I love you. When I see you, I see my son. I don't see your sin anymore. You're no longer separated from me. And so we have confidence, it says, to be able to enter in. And you guys are here and you really do have confidence in that. Like, you're not just doing the church thing. You really do have confidence. You're not shaken and like tossed all around in your faith just because of circumstances in life. You seriously, truly believe with your heart that God has saved you and he's strong enough to save you and he loves you and his son has given everything for you and there's nothing left for you to pay. And you don't just believe it, you really live it. Because as we studied before, if you really believe it, the fruit of that is that you will live it. So tell me you believe it all you want, and if you got no fruit, I'm not going to believe you. Because really believing it produces fruit. It doesn't make you perfect. It doesn't make you Titus Green tomorrow. Just there was a little joke there. But anyway. Anyway. That was a bad joke. It was stupid. Anyway. Moving on. Hold on. Everybody get pause. Okay, good. Now let's start again. Here's what I want you to get from this before I mess it all up. We should have confidence in Christ to the point where you leave this place and you're not a different person. You're not one way here and then you walk out and then you're just somebody else. You're not just doing the church thing. You really live this thing. You really love Christ in a way that says, I know he's my Savior and it's making a difference in my life. In or out of church, with or without my family, do you have confidence in Christ? And your confidence is to be able to enter into holy places. And why? What are the next couple words? How can you enter into these holy places? Through what? Is it up? Can you guys put the words up? What? By the blood of Jesus. There it is. That's the picture of grace. Grace is the fact that Jesus gave his blood for you. Don't let it become some stupid cliche phrase that we say. I want you to think about that and chew on it for a second. The blood of Jesus. Think about what Christ went through for you. Think about the perfect Son of God who was perfectly God himself. Deciding to say, hey, why don't I go down and be some snotty-nosed human who stubs his toes and gets sick just like everybody else. Let me go down and be clay. Right? Not super attractive idea. Oh. Oh, well. That wasn't intentional. I've had too many cough drops. I'm sorry. Wow. Clay, I apologize. I didn't mean that, Clay. I'm blushing now. Okay, moving on. Wow, I'm having a hard time getting going here tonight. Listen, you guys need to work on your love a little bit because I'm just saying, like, that wasn't very loving. Okay. I can tell we're thinking about Jesus here. Rewind and actually think about Jesus. The fact that Christ gave his blood for us. He gave everything. Like, I don't know if you're capturing that. Is this out now too? No, it's there. Okay. The blood of Christ means that Jesus gave everything for you. The whole thing. And you can't capture in your mind, and I can't capture in my limited mind, what everything is for God himself. But I dare say it's way, way bigger than anything you could ever dream up. The sacrifice Jesus made is something we can never begin to comprehend, but we treat it like it's just some thing that happened. It's the reason we can have an unshakable confidence, because he held nothing back for you. What could ever, ever stand a chance to affect you after that with God on your side? There's reason to have faith. So this beautiful picture of grace that we're given in the beginning of this passage continues on, and he says, let us draw near. Because of that, come close to him. Grow closer to God. Draw near to God because of this. You have access to the Creator of the universe. Why are you sitting so far away? You can draw as near as you want to God, the one who created you and loves you and died for you. The one with all the answers that you'll ever ask. Why aren't you drawing near? I tell you, that one smacks me in the face, because I look, I'm like, why am I still here? Why am I not much closer to my God, knowing that I have such free access to the greatest thing in all of existence, and I'm not sprinting toward him every single day? What's holding me back? Draw near. And it says, with a true heart and full assurance of faith, and I think that's the key. Some of us need to be more assured of our faith in Christ. This word faith, we could better understand this by saying the word trust. Actually trust him. Truly trust your Savior. That he really is that big, and he really is that important, and he does really mean everything to us. And the more you have this thing, this faith, this trust and surrender to him, the closer you'll be able to draw to him. Now this word faith is really neat, because there's two other words that we're going to see in this passage. We already read them. Faith, hope, and love. Can you guys think of another place in Scripture that's probably a pretty well-known passage about love that we see these three words? Any Bible scholars in here? 1 Corinthians 13. What does it say in the end of 1 Corinthians 13 with those three words? Those of you, somebody said it. What does it say about those words? Faith, hope, and love. What? The greatest of these is love. You see, these three words are often used together, and were often taught together in the New Testament. Because in the early church, these were things you had to understand to truly understand grace. To understand grace, you have to know what faith, hope, and love are and do. You have to completely trust Christ. That's this first part. You have to trust Christ to a way where it produces fruit in you, and you truly are changed, and you draw near to God. That's his expression of grace to us. Clay, I know you don't deserve it, but I'm going to save you. Lucas, I know that you haven't done anything for me to want to do this, but I just want to. I want to save you. It's grace. It's something we don't deserve, but Christ says, I'm doing it anyway because I love you. And we have to trust that in response. And look what it says next. It says, with our hearts sprinkled clean with an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Now, what does that sound like? You know, like, does it give you, put a picture in your mind of something as we read those words there? Something maybe we do on Sunday mornings. Huh? Baptism. It is. He's using this picture of baptism to describe something bigger. What's he describing here? What does baptism represent? Salvation. What's going on the inside. So baptism is an outward picture of what? Cleaning you. Washing your sins away, preparing you to enter the presence of God. You know the Old Testament priests? They used to baptize themselves. They used to get in the water and literally wash themselves and prepare themselves to enter into the holy presence of God. And so this expression that we use it for today is the fact that you're getting saved. You are about to enter into the eternal holy presence of God once and for all, because that was a sacrifice made. So you're baptized once. Not every time you pray, you get baptized and then go pray. You're done. Jesus' sacrifice was big enough that you're baptized as this picture to say, you haven't just baptized me with water, Jesus. You've baptized the entire being that I am. Every sin, every part of me has been changed by you. You can have faith because Jesus has done all the work, guys. If it were up to me, I'd be lost. But it's not up to me. And so I can stand and say, Christ, I can totally trust because I know you're big enough to do all of it. All right, so look what he says next. We just got a picture of grace. Because of that grace, look what happens. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. What is the confession of our hope? What does that mean? Any thoughts? Before you get baptized, what do you have to do? Get saved. Profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? It's something that you should truly believe in your heart, or I'm just dunking you in water. We're just having a little pool day together, just hanging out, you know, like that's all it is. It's you getting wet. Baptism has to be preceded by true faith in your heart where you believe it. You profess your faith in Christ. And it says the confession of our hope. See it? Word number two. What are you doing when you hope? What's the difference between trusting and hoping? Don't they seem really similar? When I'm trusting, I'm surrendering everything and saying, look, do it. What am I doing when I hope? Any English scholars in the room? Huh? You're waiting for it to happen. You're expecting and waiting and hoping for it to come about. You're waiting on the day that Jesus Christ really does what you've been promised to do. That's hoping. You're waiting. Remember the video at the beginning? There you go. You're waiting on Christ. And so you place your trust and surrender Him. You wait as He does the work. And now look what happens next. He says, without wavering. What does the word wavering mean? Anybody know? I know I'm asking you a lot of words, but it seems like there's a lot of big words in this, so I have to ask. Wavering? What? You guys awake, huh? Waffling. That's a good word, but you made me hungry, so don't ever use it again. Yeah. When I was little, I used to hang out with these guys. We thought we were like really tough. And so like we didn't love Jesus as much as we do now. So we would like make fun of each other's moms and be like, hey, your mom's fat, dude. You're like, oh, what? So everybody would like grab them and like be mad. So what we were allowed to do is like guy rules. We were allowed to do this. If you made fun of somebody's mom, the other guys would hold them. And then you had the right to pinch the dude. Now you're like, pinch? Why not punch him? Because a punch only lasts for a second. And then you're going to do like a lot and then you go to jail. So that's not good. It won't work. Have you ever been pinched right here? Oh, if not, pinch your neighbor. No, don't really do it because it'll hurt. They'll hit you. Listen, this is like the worst spot in your body to be pinched. It hurts so bad. And here's the deal. If you keep twisting, it keeps hurting and doesn't stop. It's awesome. It's a great torture technique. I had an older sister. I felt it my whole life, okay? So here's the deal. We would hold the dude who said like, your mom's fat or whatever, and be like, take it back, take it back. And they would just keep pinching until he either cried and then I'd just keep pinching, or he'd take it back. Like, that was the deal. I wanted to get him to recant what he had said. It was like the Great Inquisition. It was awesome, right? Now listen. I wanted him to change his mind, to take back what he had said. Why? It made me feel better? Yeah, probably it did, but the deal with Christ is that this can't be taken back. There's no backseas, or whatever you want to call it. You know, we're so used to this whole thing where I just start over, you know, this video game technology, just restart, no big deal. True faith in Christ can't be taken back. This is a faith that says, I'm placing my entire life on you, and if my whole life is on you, guess what? There's nothing left to take back. I was born dead, Jesus, I know that, and the only life I have came from you, so there's nothing left. There's nothing to take back. And so when I confess my hope in you, I do it without wavering because I know you're all I have. You're the only thing that matters in life. You are everything. And so no matter what trials come, and these people were facing trials, they're in persecution, and a lot of them were leaving the church or hiding because they're getting killed or arrested, and all sorts of things are happening. It was a hard time to live, a hard time to be a Christian. And so you saw people wavering in their faith. And so the encouragement here is don't waver. This profession that you made to Christ, stay strong in your profession. Because he who promised is faithful. See how it always goes back to Jesus? It always goes back to Jesus. I can't tell you how many students come to my office and like, Rob, I don't know why I just can't stop doing this. You're right. You can't stop doing it. Let me just blanket statement it now. You aren't capable of stopping. So how much do you pray about it? How much do you throw it on Jesus? How much do you obediently follow Him and stand under His grace? Trust Christ to give you the strength to do it, because you can't. That's not a new thing. But He who promised it is faithful. And so the key is to trust and hope in Christ. That's grace. That's this response that we should have in our hearts to grace. And if we do that, this is what happens. Verse 24, bless you. And let us, good thing you didn't have a cough drop, you'd be hitting me right now. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I like that he starts off and says, let us consider, because I looked that up and I'm like, it sounds so like philosophical, you know, let's consider. But that's not really what it meant. What it meant was, take it seriously. Like, take it seriously. As we talk about this thing called grace, how seriously do you take it? Are you that kid that comes just to play basketball? Are you that kid who sits through the whole message every single Wednesday and just goofs off in the back? Like in the middle of like, Jesus Christ died for you and loves you. You're the one going, why is that funny? Now, I'm not trying to be mean. But I love you. And I really don't want you to leave this place missing the most important thing you can hear. And the author feels the same way. When he says, take it seriously. This thing called grace isn't a laughing matter. It's life. Take it seriously. Let us consider. This is what he wants us to take seriously. To stir up one another. To love. Now, the word stir up, what do you think that means? Any ideas? Words, stir up. It's a phrase. Take a big pot of stew and you're like, mix it up. What do you think?
Like kindling.
Like kindling? Yeah. I looked it up. It actually is used mostly, most of the time it's used. It's used in a negative way. It means to really tick somebody off. You're like provoking someone to anger. So if you want to see an example of what that word usually means, go ahead and pinch your neighbor where I told you earlier. All right, because they're going to get ticked off at you. All right? You're going to provoke them to passionate violence. That's what the word means. To provoke to passionate violence. It is this crazy, powerful word. And I'm even going to say it in Greek because it's a cool word. Wait, I probably won't be able to now because I'm nasal. Paroxysmos. Ooh, that's a nice word. That's a nice word. I like words. To provoke to passionate violence. Now, here, he's obviously not using it to mean passionate violence, but he's giving us this awesome play on words. The same way that you can really incite someone to be really passionately, violently, like respond to what you did, do it for love. Get them that excited, but to love people. Think about when you've been ticked off the most, like so angry. All the passion, all the energy that goes into that. How focused you are on the one thing that you think is important at the time. Imagine if you could take that and stir that up in other people, but not for anger, for love. So they're that passionate about loving people. They're that focused about Christ and loving others. Now here's the deal. This isn't a suggestion, guys. Grace should change you in a way that brings you into the body of Christ to do this. There is all sorts of sneezing. I hope I haven't done this to you as I'm spitting. Okay. So as you come, I want you to think about for just a second, why do I come to church? Not just Firehouse or the 10 youth groups that are in this county that I know are awesome. I don't know where you go, all right? But think about your place. Now ask yourself, why do I go there? What makes me show up to a Sunday school or church or a Wednesday night firehouse or wherever? Is it to come and do what you're supposed to, which is stir up others in this awesome, passionate way to love and good works? Because here's the deal. A lot of times you think, hey, that's Rob's job. He's pastor. But that's Benny's job because he's our fire station leader. That's somebody else's job who's an adult or who's older. But I've already told you, you are leaders now in the church. And not just that. You are called now to come to this place so you can stir others up to love and good works. So think about the words that you say to other people when you come here. Is that what they do, or does it break people down? Think about how accepting you are of other people into your groups of friends, which we can also say aka click sometimes. Are you exclusive, or do you welcome people so you can stir them up to love and good works? Are you all about you and just keeping people you don't like out? That's not why we were called to come to this place. And if we're coming from any other reason, I vote we stop. I vote we lock the doors and close this building down and sell it. Because that's not what this is about. We've been called to be the body of Christ, to stir others up passionately, to love other people and to good works. You're saying this is a works-based theology, Rob? Like we do good works so we can get saved? No, you know I'm not saying that. Good works, like we saw before, are fruit of knowing Christ. But if you don't have it, you probably don't know Christ. Or you need to get on your knees and beg for some repentance if you do. Because believers in Christ do that. Are you doing it? Do you care enough to do it? You guys know my dog, right? A lot of you? Hunter? He's a little bonehead. Hunter in the mornings. If I, like, once 6 o'clock hits, something happens in his little dog brain. And like he thinks, okay, it's time to get up. But I'm not always ready to wake up at 6 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? But like I might need a scratch in my ear, or like heaven forbid I have to go to the bathroom at 6 o'clock. Because the second I move, if I breathe too loud, he's like, oh, okay, time to get up now. Like I'm awake. So I'll hear him, like if I like roll over, he's like, oh, time to get up. I'll hear him jump up. He'll run out into like the living room. He'll run back in my room, and all of a sudden, boom, I feel the dog like dive bomb me with all 4 feet, like all 4 paws on my back. And he's jumping like a little gazelle, and he's like licking my face, and he's like, he takes his nose and he puts it under my head on the pillow and like throws my head. I swear I'm gonna wake up with a broken neck one morning. He'd be like, why is Rob paralyzed? His dog did it. Like he's nuts. And then if I get up, and if actually like he'll hear my feet hit the ground, and then he's like, uh-oh, now it's on. So he gets his little duck, you know, and like he's throwing his duck and bouncing off the couch, and he's like, let's go out and play, you know. I've stirred him up. I have stirred that dog up, and I know better than stir him anytime before six, because he's up and he's going. I wish we could have the type of passion that says, I love Christ so much, it's going to pour out of me onto other people, and I really am concerned with stirring them up so that they look like that. And the picture I'm trying not to give you is just some emotional jump around. Don't picture a dog jumping around and be like, that's what we should look like. But there should be energy. There should be passion. There should be a focus on what's really important. And you guys are responsible for that. Look at the people around you. Those people that are sitting all around you, you're responsible to them. Hey, those aren't my words. Read it. You're responsible to them to stir them up to love and good works. Not just your pastors and leaders. You. Are you doing it? Are you doing it at school? Are you doing it at home with your own family? How do you treat mom and dad? Can you truly say that you're stirred up to love if we were to look at your conversations with mom or dad? Your brother or your sister gets under your skin. Your friends at school are not friends. And Christians should be the most loving people because we've been given so much love. Is that you? I'm going to keep moving on here. I love the fact that there are students here that are doing it. Like I saw this Sunday, a group of students show up and call probably some of y'all who are out sick or not here because they were concerned enough to find out if you needed prayer. So they're showing up on a Sunday, giving up hours to make phone calls to houses to be like, are you okay? Are you sick? Can we pray for you? Can we do anything for you? The week before that, I saw leaders show up and do the same thing. I see kids showing up to House of Hope to help out. Leaders, adults showing up to House of Hope. This place is scattered with people that love enough to do it. Now here's the deal. There's some of us here that need to jump on board with that. And not just do it ourselves, but stir others up to do it as well. Imagine a place that really was filled with people like that. Imagine how different your school would be. Imagine how different your house would be if that were your hearts. Verse 25 says, I'm not neglecting to meet together. There's a biggie right there, because remember, these people are being persecuted and it's scary to go to church. Let's just be honest. We go there and we get dragged out and put in prison. So why am I going back? Like, this was a rough time. It says the habit of some was just to not meet. They just kind of gave up. They forsook the meeting of other Christians. And how can you do this if you're not here? How can you stir up other people to love and good works if you're not around other believers? If you're not plugging into a small group? If you're not showing up to a place where believers get together and meet? Some of you are all like, oh, I come to church like once every two months. Good. I'm glad that's enough for you. But here's the deal. I'm not here tonight to tell you how often you need to show up to church, because the attendance is the last thing on my mind. It's not like I want bragging rights, you know. Show up to a little youth pastor lunch. I'm like, hey guys, look how much my youth group grew, you know, because we talked about attendance. I'm not here for that. I don't care about that. But I care about the fact that you're serving Christ the way you're told to serve Christ. And you can't do that. You can't do that if you're not plugging into church. To the body, because grace has put you in the body. Show up. Get involved. Some of y'all just come and you're like, feed. Like, do worship for me so I can sing. Lead me in prayer so I can pray. Teach me the word so I know the word. I love the fact that you do that. Don't get me wrong. I love it. You need that. But then you stop. You fatten up on all that, and then you never give back. You're not called to just feed. You're called to feed so that you can go feed other people. And you guys are ready. There's so many of you, as I look around, that are ready. You know the word. You love Christ. So get up and do something now. Start serving. Find a place to plug into your church. Find a place to share Christ in your schools. But do something and feed other people and stir them up to love and good works. Time's now. It says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now that expression, all the more, basically means to an even greater degree. Like we could say more and more and more and more and more. That's what that means. So you should be encouraging people more and more and more and more and more. You look at sometimes like the 80-year-olds in our church, like the senior adults, and you're like, man, they've arrived. It's like, they're good. Those people, they've been walking with Jesus so many years, they must be. This says that even when you're 80, your desire should be that you're being able to do this more and more and more until the day when Jesus Christ returns for you. Your desire is that you can keep growing in Christ. So please don't sit here and I'd be like, Rob, I've reached it. Like, I'm there. You're not there. We're never going to be there. That's the awesome part. There's always room for us to grow more in Christ. Sometimes I get the feel that you guys think this is my youth group. This isn't my youth group. This isn't your leader's youth group. This is not my building. This isn't the band stage. It's yours. It's yours. If this is your youth group and your building, don't you want to do something with it? Don't you feel an obligation to say, God, I really take serious what you're telling me about my body that I am a part of here? Wouldn't this place be exploding with kids all around this room if every single one of us really bought into that? There you go again, Rob. You want to fill up the room. You know, I really don't care about some awkward campaign to get you guys to go out and invite a friend so we can, like, we doubled in attendance next week. Big deal. You know what I do care about? The names of the students that I could say tonight that you would recognize who they are, that have left this place, gone through this building, and have died without knowing Christ in car accidents or motorcycle accidents. Kids that I could say their names, and some of you probably start crying right now because you know them. Kids who you know that have been in this room and have left and now are atheists and say they hate God. Those are the kids that come to my mind when I ask you to do this. Because there is a community of students that are so lost and they need Christ. And God's not just calling Rob Jones to go out there and do that or your leaders. He's calling you. So when I say fill this room up, it's because there are students that need Jesus. And you don't have to bring them here. You can bring your faith, you get the Holy Spirit, you bring it to them and you share Christ with them. My call tonight is that you do it. That grace that has been given to you makes such a difference that you're returning the favor. As the body of Christ, you're stirring up others to love and to good works. You know, when time, the last phrase says, as you see the day drawing near, that Jesus is returning, it's like, I remember we were on snowpack, you know, that last, like, we're almost about to leave, all of a sudden everybody grabbed their skis and like, I'm going for one last, you know, and they're running up to, like, the ski slope. Not running up the ski slope, that'd be hard, to the ski lift, and like trying to get that last ski, and like when we're doing sledding and we're tubing, and we're like, all right, we're about to go, guys. Everybody's like crowding back to the top to do their last little thing. When you know time's drawing near, you try to get in those last couple minutes that you can, you know, like get in as much as you can to like live this thing up. I remember when my grandfather was passing away, knowing that he only had days left, how much I wanted to spend every last second with him sitting on his bed, just having conversations with him. Hear every last story I could hear from him before he passed. We're reminded that the time is drawing near. Those people in your family that don't know Christ, they don't have forever. They need you to step up and be that light for them. Those kids sitting in your classroom that don't know Jesus, they need you to step up and be that light for them. Tonight's the night that some of y'all need to make some decisions. That you need to say, that grace that we've been talking about, it needs to show up now in my life. I'm done waiting. Close your eyes for a second. The band's going to be playing, and you guys can worship if you want to worship. Otherwise, you can go find a leader if you need to find a leader to talk and pray. But as we sing this last song, I want us to do two things. First of all, if you're up here worshiping, I want you to shout it out to Christ like you've never done before. I want you to mean it with your whole heart as you think about the grace you don't deserve. And you thank Him from the bottom of your heart for that grace. And you thank Him loudly. And those of you who are here tonight that you're like, Rob, you were talking straight to me. I'm sitting here just eating the Word, and I'm not doing anything with it. Would you please find a leader? Find me. Come talk to me. Let me pray with you. Make tonight the night where you're like, God, here it is. I give it to you. I'm not waiting anymore. Time to return the favor of this grace you gave me so freely. Some of y'all might be here tonight and you're like, I don't even know Jesus. Tonight's the night I need to accept Christ and get that grace. Please come talk to us. Let us pray with you and show you how you can know Christ. I love you guys. If you do what you need to do, if you want to come up and worship, the band's ready.